We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 28. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, spirit, soul, and body. If you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. Why do we stand? To honor God's Word while we read it. All right. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things. Hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. For the final time, maybe in your whole life, the final time, the theme of 1 Thessalonians is, the Lord is coming soon. Hey, that's the last time because we're going to be in 2 Thessalonians next week. How do you like that? Lord willing. Now, last week we talked about have no regrets while we're waiting for the Lord to come soon. Have no regrets for waiting. What are we to do while we're waiting for the Lord? Well, we know that the whole body has responsibilities before the Lord, and the leadership has responsibilities for the Lord. The leader's responsibilities was to labor in the Word. The word for labor was kopeo. I don't know if you remember that, but it means that to work hard, to be wearied, fatigued. The leader's responsibility is to put everything that they have into teaching the Word of God, not to skate through. There's a lot of people that skate through in preparation. That is not what the leader is supposed to do. The leader is to conduct themselves properly before the body, and the leaders are also supposed to admonish the body. That means to warn gently. Danger ahead. Change course. What you're doing is going to ultimately be wrong and be bad for you. Change the direction you're going in. So those two things that the leaders are supposed to do. But the brethren, which is all of us, leaders and brethren, the whole thing, we're all brethren, right? All of us are to deal with the unruly. That was verse 14 last week. Now we exhort you, brethren, that's all of us, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Remember, the unruly are those within the body, it's a military term, that are out of rank, out of order, are abandoning their post. They're neglecting their responsibilities. It's the responsibility for all of us collectively when we see somebody going off to intervene and to help them to get back on the right track. That's what that's about. To comfort the faint-hearted, those with a heavy load. You know, as in life, life gets hard. There's waves of it that comes. Sometimes the load is light and you're going skippity-doo-dah, skippity-yay. Oh, what a wonderful day. And other times it's gloom and despair is hanging in on me. This depends on the weight that you're carrying. But we are expected as the body of believers to help one another along the way. We are to uphold the weak. Those are the ones that are in ministry that are burned out. There should be nobody, and I think, I don't like to use should, ought, and better. Those are control words. But in this situation, with a healthy body, burnout should not happen because the workload is distributed amongst all in the body. When everyone does their part, the body functions, the body is healthy. And then we are to be patient with all. That word patient was macrothumia. It means slow to heat up, slow to become angry, not reflexic and responsive to everything that's happening around you. Slow to heat up. And then don't retaliate, evil for evil. The principle is the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. And then vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. That has to be our posture. When godly leaders do their part and all of us as brethren together do their part, we are a healthy church. We are a healthy church. We're marching forward. We can impact the culture. When we are not healthy, we are limping along. Ever see that Revolutionary War thing when they're all bandaged up and the guy's got the little flute? You know, that's the unhealthy church, okay? Wounded, struggling along. We want to be healthy and impact the culture. Now today we're going to be talking about good news. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Folks, spirit, body, Spirit, soul, and body. I want to say that correctly. Spirit, soul, and body. That's the emphasis today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for each person that has carved out time today to come to this place to hear your word. No one is here by accident. You and your sovereignty have ordained all things. You have moved in the hearts of people and you have brought them to this place to hear from you today. So Lord, I ask that you'll soften our hearts, open our spirits up to you to truth, and help us to leave here changed, closer and closer to you, because we've come in contact with you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the theme is going to be, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're going to hear me saying that over and over and over. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. In verse 16 and 18, spirit, soul, and body, that's what we are. Where your focus is affects your life. Now, when I say that, in order for you to carry out verses 16 through 22, you have to be spirit-focused. You cannot be focusing on your soul, which is your mind, and you can't be body-focused. Body-focused. And we're going to expand on that in just a second. So watch these words, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Now, I always wonder, how do you pull this off when I've done studies before on this? How in the world does God expect me to rejoice always in the messes of life? And then slugging it out in life. How am I supposed to rejoice always? There's an answer to this. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Now you hear that? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now those words are not easy to take. They're not easy to take. You will not be able to carry this out coming to church once a week. If this is your only input, your only spiritual input, you will not be able to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerned. You will not be able to carry that out. Cursory Christianity cannot do this. On the edge Christianity cannot do this. It's not for nominal Christians. What is it for? It is for the Holy Spirit-filled person. The person who is spirit-controlled. That is the only way that you can do this. If you are focused on the battles in your mind, if you are focused on your body and its urges and that sort of thing, you will not be able to carry this out. That is the point here. It's not easy. It's not easy, but through the good, the bad, and the ugly of life, God has given us a tool, a mechanism that would be the Spirit of God dwelling within us that allows us to be overcomers with anything that comes in the world. I want you to notice the sequence here. The key to rejoicing are these things. Number one, pray continually. Pray continually. Give thanks always. And notice that thing. Give thanks in all circumstances, in everything, not for everything. That is a big difference. Because I am not thankful that, you know, my mother-in-law had Alzheimer's. I am not thankful for that. However, I can rejoice in that because there have been good things produced through it. She had a lot of suffering, but there was good that was produced through it. There are bad things that happen to people. In everything, God will work for good. We must have that concept down. We must. If we're going to be victorious, if you're going to be joyful always, you have to somehow conceptualize within your being, God is at work in this situation. Even though I can't see it, I don't understand it, I don't like it. Are you with me? Do you understand? Okay, because this is very important. Somehow God is working everything out through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, part of rejoicing, part of being able to carry this out is this. Never forget this, please. No matter what your circumstances are, they will change. You must have that in there. What a difference a day makes. I want to take you just to a couple places in Scripture. One is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23. I don't know if you remember the setting, but Jeremiah is the writer of Lamentations. Nebuchadnezzar is taking captive Jerusalem. 1 million people are killed. It wasn't with Titus's rule, but a lot of people are killed. A lot of people are brought into captivity. It's a very despairing time for the nation of Israel. It's a huge mess. And he writes these words in verse 22. through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Through the Lord's love, through the Lord's chesed, through his loving kindness, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Think about this. Every new day we have start overs. You might have a mess one day, but in 24 hours things can look a whole lot different. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on to God. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him, or I will wait for him. The Lord is my hope for every situation in every day. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Notice we have to wait for him, not run ahead of him, not lag behind him. Keep in step. We keep in step with the Spirit. That's the teaching that we have to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. You know what the salvation of the Lord is? It is his help. It is his assistance. It is his deliverance. That's what we're waiting for. Every day has its mess. But in that day, I am waiting for the salvation of the Lord through that day. And when I lie my head down at night, I can say, thank you, Lord, that you were my strength to make it through this one. Because I could not have made it without you. For the salvation of the Lord, trust him for strength and help. And remember this, God is for you. Now, how do I know that? How do I know that? Because his word says that. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can stand against us? If God is for us, who can stand against us? What situation, what person, what demonic power, what can stand against us? And I can tell you, it's nothing. It is nothing. If God is for us, I want you to take another journey with me and look at the life of David. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 30, verse 1 through 5. He says these words. Now, this is David when he's assuming his kingship. Now, David, before he assumed his kingship, was chased for 13 years by King Saul. King Saul was jealous. King Saul wanted to kill him. David is on the run, wondering what is all this learning about being a king thing about. 13 years after his anointing by Samuel, before he assumes his kingship. And he says these words when he now becomes king. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. Now, don't you want that? He lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. Have not let those hating adversary enemies rejoice over me. God is for you. Who can be against you? Even when it looked bad for 13 years being chased. O Lord God, I cried out to you. Now, this is he's praying. The key to rejoicing is praying. And you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave, and you have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. You know what he's saying? He was as low as a person could get. You talk about your lip being on the ground. Life is hard. He was there, man. King David was there. His lip was on the ground. He was as low as a person could be. And he says, I sing praise to the Lord. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. Let's be joyful. Give thanks in all remembrance. Pray. Remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. When you feel like you're being chastened, remember, it is just for a moment. Just for a moment. But hear the rest of this. His favor is for a lifetime. His favor is for a lifetime. Whenever God is dealing with one of his children, bringing him back in line, he does the least that he has to do to change your course back into the right direction. But he will do the most that he has to do to change your course back into the right direction. You hear? He wants to do the least, but the important thing is that you change course. And he will help you with that. He's an expert. He's an expert. His favor is for life, his delight, his pleasure. Weeping may endure for a night, but oh, hear these words, but joy comes in the morning. There's always a new day with God. There's always start overs with God. And we have that to look forward to. Now that is what we're talking about today. Hear the words of King David. Hear the words of Jeremiah. What a difference a day makes. And God is with you through every fire, every flame, every situation that you go through. Never think that you're alone. Verse 19 through 22. Again, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, spirit, soul, and body. How to live in this world as God's temple. You are each a temple. We are each the temple of God. How are we to live in this world? I've just seen the beginning part here. Let's see how it expands on it. He tells us what not to do. Do not quench the Spirit. We're going to examine this in just a second. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Is that a suggestion? No, this is a command, okay? Do not quench the Spirit. Now, what is quenching the Spirit? Extinguishing the Spirit's fire. It says in the NIV, don't extinguish the Spirit. Do not stifle, snuff out, stop the Spirit. Once you are saved, you are in a process of cooperating with the Holy Spirit. When you resist the Holy Spirit, when you say no to the Holy Spirit, you are quenching the Spirit of God in your life. Okay? That is the thing we want to remember. One person wrote this. The believer quenches the Spirit's work by ignoring Him. Do you ever hear God say, this is the way, walk in it. Don't go down that road. Change course. Don't ignore Him. You quenched Him. You've quenched Him. Neglecting Him, not paying attention to Him. He's not even there. I'm pretending He's not even there. Neglecting the Holy Spirit. Disobeying Him flat out. He's speaking to you. You know that He's speaking to you. He's telling you not to do this thing or to do this thing. And you say, no, I'm going to resist that. Or simply procrastinating. I'll get around to it when I feel like it. That quenches the Holy Spirit. That quenches the Spirit of God. We are to stop putting out the Spirit's fire, stop quenching the Holy Spirit. And remember this, when you quench the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. You know what He does? He gently withdraws. He doesn't leave you, but you have this sense of withdrawal from Him. You lose the closeness with God. You lose the precious walk that you had with Him. There's a gentle withdrawal until you make things right with God. He's always willing to come back and fill you, but that is up to you. You must repent, confess, get things right with God, ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then He says, do not despise prophecies. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means to me, listen to people who speak rightly God's word. Notice how I'm emphasizing rightly God's word, because there's a lot of not rightly God's word that goes on. But you do not blindly follow anyone, including who? Including you, including me. All of yous are, I'm the you for you guys, okay? Me, okay? You do not blindly follow anyone. I don't care how popular they are. And the reason we know that is because the next thing is test all things. That's what the word says. Test all things. Test what is spoken is in line with the Word of God. Be discerning. Do not be deceived. There are many people who misuse the Word of God. There are many people who will try to deceive you. How do I know that? Well, I've lived long enough to experience that, but also the Word of God tells us that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 and 14 says this. We've been here before. It'll be familiar to you. For such are false apostles. Are there really false apostles? Are there people trying to trick you? That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Deceitful workers, watch this, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, looking like apostles of Christ. Sound good, look good, smell good. The word sounds good, and all of a sudden something's off. Test, test, test what is said is true. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Wow, he can look just as bright as anything that you can imagine. He is a master transformer. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Folks, we have to have discerning eyes, discerning ears, discerning hearts. Make sure that the Spirit of God is well working within you, that you can spot false teachers. Always test what is said. Is it congruent, in line with the Word of God? That is absolutely essential. Don't trust anybody, particularly as we're getting closer to the end, because deception is being ratcheted up, ramped up. And finally, abstain from every form of evil. That word form is E-I-D-O-U-S. And it means this, that which is seen. This is evil that can be seen and perceived by you. Okay? Now, when tested, if anything appears or borderlines on evil, get away from it. Get away from it. Flee from it. Whether it be a person, a place, a thing, anything. If it looks evil, if it does not match the test of Scripture, we are to flee from it because it will extract a toll from you. The evil will say, come to me, everything's wonderful and great, and you're going to have the best time of your life, and believe me, it will extract a toll from you. Flee. That's what God tells us to do. Now, verses 16 through 22, this is how someone who is really the temple of the Holy Spirit must live, spirit-centered, not soul, not mind-centered. Your mind has not been redeemed yet. And not body-centered, your urges-centered, okay? And we're going to expand on that more momentarily. Now, in verses 23 through 28, again, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Have no fear. God will complete you, spirit, soul, and body. If you've been born again, you can be sure that God will get you home safely, and your whole being, spirit, soul, and body will be redeemed, will be made perfect. Let's read the text. Now may the God of peace, I love that word because he is the God of peace. He is the God of his presence. He is a God that brings peace into our lives if we listen to him. Himself sanctify you. Sanctify means set apart. Sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body, your entire being be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, your being is a triunity, a spirit, soul, and body. There's some debate on this. Some theologians talk about material and immaterial, but I really think that this really explains this pretty good, spirit, soul, and body. Be preserved blameless at the coming. Notice when it happens, at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful, who will do it. This is a promise to you that you can hold on to. A promise to you. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. That's a characteristic of a Christ follower. Not that we're kissing everybody in the place. That's what they did in those days. But greeting, shaking hands, high fives, gentle hug, that sort of thing. That's a characteristic of a God follower. Friendly with the body. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. That is what we are to do. Spread the word. And then watch this. The grace, the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Charis, favor. It's where we get charisma. The favor of God. Joy, favor, acceptance of the Lord Jesus be with you. And that's how he finishes it. That's a tag that he puts on the end of this letter. Now let's think about something. When he says sanctify you, again, I want to emphasize this. Sanctification means you are set apart unto God. When you were saved, you were set apart unto God positionally at the moment of salvation. You belong to him. You are seated in the heavenlies. But as you're living this life out, you are being progressively conformed to the likeness of Christ. That is progressive sanctification. That is a work that you do in concert with the Holy Spirit, with God in you, that you're becoming more and more like Christ. You're yielding yourself to the things of God. That's what you're in the process of right now. But when you pass, when you die, your spirit and your soul go immediately to the presence of God. Totally redeemed. Totally whole. Your body will go into the grave. It will become glorified and totally whole when Jesus resurrects you. We believe at the rapture of the church, when we are resurrected. Our soul and our body, our soul, spirit, and body are now reconnected, and we are now whole, complete. He has promised that he will do that. You can be guaranteed it. Anytime you place somebody into the grave, you know that that person's not even there. So don't go for the most expensive casket. You know, get the lower tiered one. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That person's gone. That body is rotting away, turning to dust. Don't get caught up in that whole mess. The process is complete when you are glorified, spirit, soul, and body in heaven. In verse 25, he says, pray for us. Now, this is the Apostle Paul saying, pray for us. If he says that, you think we need it. You bet. We need it. We all need prayer for strength. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20 says this in the NIV. Pray also for me. This is the Apostle Paul saying this in Ephesians. He says this multiple times in Scripture. Pray also for me. Notice what he's asking prayer for. That whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I can open my mouth, impact the culture, and fearlessly impact the culture for Christ. No fear. No fear for you who are filled with the Holy Spirit. No fear. For which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it, fearlessly as I should. Now, if Paul says that he should do it, is there a message for us that we might want to consider fearlessly spreading this gospel? You bet. You bet. It's a message for all of us. And remember where Paul is writing this. Ephesians is one of the prison epistles. He's writing this while he's confined. This isn't a real pleasurable experience for Paul. And he says, pray for me. Do not allow the world, folks, do not allow the world or your situation to intimidate you and stop you from sharing the gospel. Don't allow it to happen no matter what your situation is. Now, you're going to have to pay really close attention. Because as you can see, you have a little handout there. The threefold nature of man, spirit, soul, and body. Now, this is the key to having joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This spirit, soul, and body situation. Now, on the screen, you're going to see the threefold nature of man. And I want to show you something. This is the body, which you're housed in. This is the soul, which is your mind, and this is the spirit, which is the thing that connects you with God. The body, again, is what you're housed in. It is flesh and bone, and it comes in all shapes and sizes. Would you agree? Yes. All shapes and sizes. We all have an ideal that we think that we should look like in our body. A lot of emphasis is put on the body. A lot of focus is put on it. Youth in our culture is idolized. Youth, right? Everybody wants to look, well, when you're young, you want to look a little older. But for the rest of your life, you're wanting to look young. You'll do everything. You'll primp the body. You'll paint the body. You'll tuck the body. Right? You'll do all this stuff. Tuck it in, paint it up, pamper it. We have a lot of focus on the body in our culture. Agreed? Agreed? Okay. Out of balance. Out of balance. Now, we also have a soul. And I want you to notice something. The soul right down in here. Oh, that's okay, right there. The soul is your thoughts, imaginations, reasoning, conscious. This is your mind. This is the mind part. Your mind, I don't know if you know this or not, is not sanctified. Have you noticed that? Drive down the freeway, have somebody cut in front of you, tell me if it's sanctified. Okay, you know that your thoughts go off really easy into some land when you're going, where did that come from? This is not sanctified. Okay? It's probed in our culture, though. There's a lot of emphasis on the mind in our culture. We have psychology. Psychology. Soul is psyche. You see that word psyche right there? That's psyche. That means mind. Ology is study of the mind. A lot of emphasis is put on the study of the mind. And then you have the spirit part of the man. I want you to notice faith, hope, reverence, prayer, and that sort of thing. That comes from our spirit when it's connected to God. When it's not connected to God, you do not have these faculties of faith, hope, reverence, prayer, and that sort of thing. Not there. Why? Because our spirits are dead. Are dead. I want to expand on that for just a second. Your spirit is dead. Now, man was made in the image of God according to the likeness of God. That's Genesis, right? Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. You ever wonder what being in the image of God was? You're going to find that out in just a second here. Man was made in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That's how we're... Now, what is the image of God? God's spirit was in Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had a perfect body, a perfect soul, and a perfect spirit. God's spirit was within Adam and Eve's being. That was the image of God. That in the original creation is the image of God. What happened? The fall of man. Satan comes into the garden, says, oh, eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They did it. And from then on, we have this. We have earth and the messes and the struggles and all that stuff that go on earth that you're experiencing right now. Everybody's got something. Everybody in this room is experiencing something because of the fall. I don't care if you have a sore throat, if you have a relationship issue, a financial issue, any issue at all, it's because of the fall. Just take it, boom, right back to the fall. Okay? Now, God's Spirit was put in the man. Man was perfect. The Holy Spirit was dwelling within. He could commune with God directly. Adam and Eve were in their perfect state, could walk in the garden with God complete and whole. They could speak to him, talk with him, commune with him. Okay? Something happened. They had the fall. The fall of man, sin entered the world. Man no longer was perfect. When they sin, the Holy Spirit exits stage left. How do I know that? Because sin brought death. And God's presence brings life. The only way we could die is if God's presence is not there. We died spiritually and we died physically. Okay, you understand? Physically and spiritually. The death curse upon all men. Ephesians 2:1 says this, and you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. When were you made alive? When the Holy Spirit, when you believe that Jesus died for your sins, you accepted the gift of his substitutionary atonement in your place, the Spirit of God goes resident right within your being, and that's where he dwells. Okay? Now, your spirit now is redeemed. You are saved. Soul's not saved. Body's not saved. You're still going through life, aren't you? You're still going through life. You have a lot of struggles. A lot of struggles. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says this, just so you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I want to put the next slide up so that you just see just a crude example of the temple of God. First of all, you want to note the holy place. This is where the Spirit of God dwells. In the Old Testament, God chose to dwell with his people in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is, the cherubim and that sort of thing are there. This is the most, it's the Holy of Holies. This is the holy place. This is the court. And out here is the court of the priests. I want you to also notice two things. You have these pillars. They're going to become significant in just a second. And you always ascend to God, up the steps into the holy place, up the steps into the Holy of Holies. We always make aliyah to God. We're always ascending to God. God is high and lifted up. Mankind is always ascending to God. That is always a concept. We miss that in America. God is holy. God is not like us. We worship God for who he is, not who we make up in our minds. Okay? So with that stated, we'll go to the next slide. Now that God met with his people in the Old Testament in the temple. In the New Testament, who's the temple? We are the temple of God. So God now meets with us individually, inside each one of us when we're saved. When we receive Jesus as our Savior. Now notice what happens. God is in the Holy of Holies. The light goes through this curtain into the holy place of our heart, goes to the porch, stops there. Now just for this illustration, stops there. Okay? I want you to notice a couple things. I want you to notice the hidden chambers. I'm going to expand on that later. And I want you to notice the inner court is the level of your soul or your psyche. That's not redeemed. This is your spirit. The outer court is your body. Another slide, please, and we'll explain it a little more clearly. This is just explaining more what I just said. Spirit comes into here. My heart has been changed. The Spirit of God has affected my heart. My willpower has changed. That is the porch. And now my soul, though, is the outer inner court. My body is the outer court. These are under the control of the world, the flesh, and the devil at this point. The light has not come through. Okay? Next slide. I just want to take the opportunity to explain just a little bit more about these pillars. Now, we have a new willpower, which can coincide with God's willpower, but out here in the level of the mind, we can still make our own choices that are contrary to God's will. This light has not come through making God's choices our choices. These are just our personal choices, our thoughts, our emotions, our desires at the level of the soul or the level of the mind. Okay? These pillars, one is called Boaz and one is called Yachin. It's J-A-C-H-I-N, Jachin, okay. But it's Yachin, something like that. Now, Boaz means by his strength, I can make God choices. This guy's not doing it yet. And Yachin means God will establish you, make you immovable. Those are two things you want to remember. These are in this level of the soul. But you have the strength to enact these portals, these two pillars, to allow you to walk in God's strength and to be immovable in your life. Next slide. Now, this was what happens when you're born again, the Holy Spirit is resident within, and you're Spirit-filled, you are cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Now, notice what happens. The light comes from here. The light of the glory of God comes into our whole being, onto the porch, but now extends into our life. And we can do something called faith choices, which I'll expand on more in just a second. We can do God's will. We're filled with the Spirit, God's thoughts, God's emotions, God's everything, because the light of God is going out into the world around us. Now again, this is the area of the mind. My mind is now God-controlled, and if my mind is God-controlled, what's going to happen to my body? My body is going to be God-controlled. I'm going to be walking in the Spirit, and oh, don't miss this. I'm going to be single-minded, focused on God, not double-minded, torn between the world and torn between God. That is the double-minded. Now, we're going to see that in just a second. So if you go to the next slide. Now, this is busy. This is a busy slide. If you take a class someplace, you're going to see busy slides. But anyway, on this slide, you're going to see, again, the temple of God. The light of the glory of God is dwelling in this person, saved, born again. Their spirit is in line with God. But look what's happened here. Look what's happened here. The Spirit has been quenched. Somehow the person has said no to the Holy Spirit. God has said, do this. And this person says, no, I'm going to go my way. I'm going to make my own choices. I'm going to have my desires filled, my emotions. The power of sin is going to rule me. Their mind has been given over to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And now they're being controlled by their own choices, which will affect your body. Your body's going to live this out. Whatever your mind determines to do, your body's going to live it out. And what is your body going to do? Walk in the flesh and be double-minded, torn between God and the world. You know what happens in that state? You are miserable. You are miserable. And you're trying to relieve your misery. So you act out on your addictions in this area. And you try to feed your mind. You try to trick your mind. You tell your mind anything to make it calm and make it at peace. The only thing that can make it at peace is repenting and getting this blockage out of there and allow God's light to shine through into the world around you. This area, remember, this is the mind. This is the area that Satan and the demonic realm work in. This is where they work in. They are encouraging you to make these choices. Fulfill your desires. Don't you owe it to yourself? Look at everybody else is doing this, and they're having so much fun snorting that coke and drinking that booze. And, oh, look, isn't that great? But then they see them in the gutter. He's not mentioned in the gutter. He's not mentioned the end result of that. He's not looking at the broken homes when someone has acted on their choices and they see husbands and wives separating, lives destroyed. He never tells you that. He never tells you that because he's a liar. He wants you to go out on the primrose path of destruction. This is where this works. Satan is working in that area. The demonic realm can influence you. The world, the flesh, and the devil are not your friend, folks. This world system is pumping into your mind things that are contrary to the Spirit of God, encouraging you to make these choices that are contrary to God. You see that? Do you see that? Is this clear? Okay. False worldviews, false teachings, lies come in this area. And again, whatever happens in the mind, the body's going to carry out, walking in the flesh, double-minded, and your life's a mess, and you're going, I thought I was saved. I really thought I was. I know I'm saved, but why is my life such a mess? Well, you're not listening to God. You're not being attuned to what the Spirit of God is saying. You want your ways, and you want a little bit of God. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Now go to the final one. Now this is going to be a comparison of the two. This is the one that you have in your hand. Now I want you to focus on a couple things. Now we've been through this. You know what these things mean. Bear with me. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul, of spirit, and of body." Now, what does the word of God affect? Your entire being. That's why in spiritual warfare, what did Jesus do when he was dealing with Satan? It is written, it is written, it is written. It was affecting all of his spirit, soul, and body. That is the tool that we have that allows us to overcome all of these areas. Be strong in all of these areas. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It is the reason that you must be immersed in the Word. Psalm 119:15 says this, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I'll delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." That's how important David thought the word of God was. How can a young, just before this, he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. The word is the one that pierces all of this. Now, let me ask you a question. How can you be victorious in your Christian walk when you are bombarded by the world, your flesh, and the devil in this area, and you have not gotten into God's Word? You have not spent time in His Word. How can you be successful? But I went to church. I went to church, and I sat there, and I drifted in and out for an hour, and then he talked, and it was kind of cool, but I don't remember what he said. No, you're not going to be victorious. You have to be in His Word. It has to be daily. If you want a successful walk in this, it has to be daily in the Word of God. Daily in the Word of God. No compromise. Again, just very briefly, God gives you a new spirit. He gives you a new heart. When you are saved, He gave you a new heart. In Ezekiel chapter 36, He says, "I take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll cause you to walk in my ways." God has done everything that He can for us. These are where we are making our choices in concert with the Spirit. This is where God has done His work in us. We have the ability to carry out these choices over here, but we can volitionally block it. He's given us a new willpower. And again, the soul and the body are going to respond to whatever we're doing in this area of the mind. Whatever we're doing in that area of the mind. Now, just this final emphasis here, and this is going to be really important. If you haven't zeroed in on anything, this will kind of be the most important part, okay? God has given us a new spirit, a new heart, and a new willpower. We can do God's willpower now. We can make these choices. We can live for Him. And when we live for Him, our soul is in line with God. Our body will then be in line with God. We're going to be carrying out the things that God wants us to do. We're going to live the way that He wants us to live. So, when we do these things, now I can see how to live out, be joyful always, Rick. Pray continually, Rick. Give thanks in all circumstances, Rick. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Because I am in the flow of God's Spirit, God's power. I know that everything that is happening to me, I'm in His will, and things are happening according to what He has dictated in my life. His will, His way. No matter what happens here, there's good stuff and bad stuff that can still happen to me. I will die at some point. My family members will die. There will be grief and heartache. But if I am walking in this, somehow I know that God is working out all things for my good. Over here, I'm doubting. Where are you, God? Why aren't you hearing me? Why aren't things working out for me? But I have blocked His Spirit. I have made these choices on my own. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? Now, a couple last things. In this area here, we can be walking in the Spirit one moment, and tell me if you don't agree with this, and in a millisecond, I can be right here. 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm spending time with the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, you're wonderful. You're great. I'm for you, oh, Lord. You're with me. Oh, thank you. And then something gets me, and I have to make a faith choice as to whether I'm going to let that something get me or not. And if I do not make a faith choice, I will then block the flow of God's power in my life. Very important concept. We can be walking this way 1 second and this way another second. Does everybody agree with that? Do you see that in your own life? Okay, very important. Now, notice over here are the hidden chambers. These are very important. In the hidden chambers was stored firewood for the altar, to make sacrifice and that sort of thing down here. And also the priest would hide their hidden idols in this area. Okay? Just to know what the history is in the hidden chambers. Now, in the hidden chambers, this is an area that we have to deal with. We have to deal with the hidden chambers. The hidden chambers are the feelings, emotions, issues that we have never come to grips with. We've been saved out of this world. There have been strongholds in the world. There has been places where the enemy has had deep-rooted control of us. He no longer legally has control of us, but in our mind, we can go back there. Okay? So in these chambers could be things like anger, lust, jealousy, gluttony, disappointments, failures, you fill in the blank, okay, whatever it is. Hidden chambers. Now, it's important that these hidden chambers be burned. Remember, this, well, the wood is there for burning. So we can make faith choices to burn up what is in the hidden chambers. The burn up was in the hidden chambers. One thing I need to say also, this work was done by Chuck Missler. And it's in his, he's got a book here actually. I got to give him credit because he did the stuff. The Architecture of Man, written in around 1999 or so. So you burn the idols by making faith choices to say, I will not, because God has given you His power. We can make faith choices to burn up the chambers in our hearts. The key to victory is to making faith choices. You have to. The enemy is always going to come. You have a natural tendency, listen to these words, a natural tendency, a proclivity, or a propensity. All of those kind of mean the same thing. To be drawn in a certain area. Each of us is wired in a certain way with a different tendency to be attracted to a different thing. We have to make faith choices and know what they are. I mean, just you know what they are. Admit that you have a problem in those areas. And then you can make, because God has given you the power to do it, faith choices, the Spirit of God. You can't do this on your own. This is God's Spirit working in you. But He gives you, you're working in concert with, you're in agreement with Him, saying, I'm not going to act out on that. And that's the key to victorious living. The key to victory in any life, in anybody's situation, is to make faith choices that moment to moment, day by day, that deal with these issues that you uniquely have. Each one of us has something, that there's been a stronghold in that area. And we can make a faith choice not to get into this area. Understand that, okay? So, let's finish this. Conclusion. You are the temple of the Holy God. We are all the temple of God, folks, that are born again. We are the temple of the Holy God. You can make a faith choice, a moment-by-moment choice, to obey the Holy Spirit and to deal with the hidden chambers of our life. You understand that? we can make a faith choice to deal with the hidden chambers in our life. We have to if we're going to be successful. You do not have to be controlled by your emotional choices or flesh desires. Now, let me just ask you, will your flesh desires ever go away? Well, when we die, okay. Your flesh is going to be tugging on you, pulling on you. Your flesh has not been redeemed. Your spirit has been redeemed, and it's a constant battle with the flesh, with our soul, with our mind, and our flesh and our body acting out. Our flesh has not been redeemed. It will not be glorified until we are out of here. The flesh has to be to die in us. You do not have to be controlled by your emotional choices or your flesh choices, because you have the power of God to make a faith choice. You can live a single-minded life, a victorious life. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And now you can be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, and you can know that this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. Spirit, soul, and body. Remember, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to study your word, and thank you for this teaching. And Lord, you gave it to Chuck Missler, and he gave it to us. So I'm grateful for that. I pray that each person here will be affected by it, that our hearts will be changed, our minds will be changed, our spirits will be changed. We will not walk in defeat. We'll get rid of these hidden areas, and that we'll deal with them, burn them up by making faith choices to walk in your will, not our will, on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this teaching. In Jesus' name, amen.